Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, we are back. And last week and the week before, I had missed my Friday show and I scheduled one for Mondays. And the week before, I forgot my Monday one. Last week I did it, but it didn't record or anything, so I'm not really sure what was going on. It was with my old mixer and everything. I've got my new mixer tonight, and I'm not exactly sure how it's going to sound. I know that some of the stuff that I've recorded for it doesn't sound as good as it did before, but that's something that I'm going to have to get to working on and get it straightened up. But we've got ourselves a hell of a show tonight, because what we've got is the Democrats constantly pushing Republicans down, knocking us off of our feet and saying that we're the ones who are pushing for violence. We're the ones who are pushing for all of this stuff. We're the ones who are pushing to make America a violent place. But my show tonight, along with Bing's show last night, will actually shows exactly who is at fault here. You know, we've got like Madonna saying that she dreams an awful lot about blowing up the White House. That, my friends, is against the law. But that's not all. Got Maxine Waters telling the crowd to get up in their face, be violent, you know, and nobody's looking at that side of this whole thing. It's all the Republicans are the ones who are violent. The Republicans are the ones who are inciting insurrection, as Nancy Pelosi so uneloquently put it when she was, you know, went on that little clip that I used on my new intro here. It's like Bing used this on his show last night, and I decided I was going to use it on mine too, because this needs to be gotten out.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look, as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and
wow.
Our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Okay, now, every one of those voices was Democrat. Every one of those voices are liberal leftists. They are the ones who are pushing for the violence, folks, not the Republicans. The Republicans, you know, even Donald Trump, with Nancy Pelosi saying that he incited violent insurrection on this country. No, he didn't. The FBI even proved that he didn't. But they're still going after all this stuff. They're trying to impeach a president who is no longer in office. You cannot impeach a president that's no longer in office. But the can of worms that the Democrats are opening up, they're not going to like what can be brought in here. Carter could be impeached because of this now, because of what they're doing. Clinton could be impeached now because of what they're doing. Obama could be impeached now because of what they're doing. Biden is being impeached. And the lady who pushed the impeachment on this is now being told that the Democrats want her ejected from Congress. Why? Because she's doing exactly the same thing that they were doing? This whole idea that Americans are not watching what is going on is ridiculous, to say the least. Welcome to the show, folks, and we'll be right back.
Well, it's pretty amazing how people try to frame everything racially and how they create divisions among our society.
Lost my job today. Stroke of a pen. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense how. At the stroke of a pen, me, my buddies, all of us who lost our jobs, we just gotta walk this car.
The President of the United States incited an armed insurrection against America.
As one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Conservatism radio show with your host Robert the Infidel Garding, as we strive hard to bring you the correct news as it actually happened, with no liberal spin that is always told in the lamestream liberal media. Through the silver microphone of freedom, with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, this is NWCR Radio through CNM, broadcast from Albuquerque, New Mexico, in the CNM Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert. Okay, hearing that for the first time since I set that up the other day, I was kind of listening to that. and it's funny because I started out with Ben Carson talking about how everybody is pushing for racism in this country. And then the gunfire and stuff, that was from Black Lives Matter and the so-called peaceful riots that were happening in Portland, Oregon, And beyond that, inside that was Nancy Pelosi saying that President Trump has incited violent insurrection on the United States of America. Every bit of the violence that I can see, that I've been able to find, that has happened, has been caused by the Democrats and the things that they are doing to this nation. You know, like New York Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo lost Chris Cillizza, and I knew it was over, months after every source that wasn't CNN knew that Cuomo was undercounting nursing home COVID-19 deaths. The Associated Press reported last summer that New York, almost alone in the United States at the time, didn't count deaths that happened in the hospital as nursing home COVID victims. Okay, now here's the thing about this. The people that were dying in the hospitals were actually in the nursing homes. But when they started to get real bad, what they did was they moved them out and put them in the hospital so that they would not be counted as nursing home COVID victims. And one of the things that I've got here is a Judge Jeanine Pirro's opening statement on January 30th. And she went all out on Cuomo and the things that he's done. And she even named some laws that were New York penal codes that he broke.
The reason Americans don't trust politicians is because they lie. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is a case in point. The attorney general from his own party tells us he underreported nursing home deaths by 50%. This wasn't an accounting error, an administrative error. It was a cover-up. Plain and simple, by an egotistical, uncaring, cold-hearted political bully. You know the type, where he knows he's wrong and manipulates numbers so he can prevent being caught. So nursing home deaths in New York State skyrocket from 6,700 to 13,000. Follow along with me. When the COVID pandemic hits, like any self-worshipping politician, Cuomo uses the occasion to promote himself. You'll recall the Democratic presidential nomination is not yet cinched, so he goes in full throttle PR mode. Along with his brother Fredo on CNN, he does a daily television show promoting himself, his family, his meatballs, and his ego. The left swoons over his modulated reasoned tone and queries his romantic availability. The narcissistic, self-absorbed Andrew writes a book in the midst of the pandemic called American Crisis, Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic, touting his own leadership abilities. What leader in the middle of a pandemic writes a book about himself? And then the fawning left gives him an Emmy for his daily masterful COVID-19 briefings, where people around the world tuned in, and New York became a symbol of New York tough determination. Now that the truth is out, New York State has the highest number of nursing home deaths in the country. Why? On March 25th, 2020, Cuomo issued a new directive to nursing home administrators. Quote, no resident shall be denied readmission or admission to the nursing home based on a confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID-19. Nursing homes are prohibited from requiring a hospitalized resident who is determined medically stable to be tested for COVID-19 prior to admission or readmission, close quote. When he was asked why he was forcing nursing homes to accept COVID-infected patients, he lied. He blamed the Trump administration, saying he was following federal guidelines. The lie? Federal guidelines do not and never did require nursing homes to take COVID-infected patients. The truth? You, Andrew, are one of the only governors in America, to insist that COVID-infected seniors be placed with our most vulnerable population, the elderly. You and you alone inflamed all of New York's nursing home population. You and you alone underreported the number by 50%, thinking no one would find out, and constantly ignoring and delaying the release of this information. Now, Andrew, what made you do that? What made you write that directive? Why would you mandate readmission or admission of COVID-infected patients, even requiring the elderly be admitted to a nursing home without a COVID test? It's not like you were desperate for hospital beds. Within days of your directive, President Trump delivered the USNS Comfort. The Javits Center was also available. Yet together, those giant makeshift hospitals didn't have more than 100 New York patients. So why would you force nursing homes to readmit COVID-infected patients? You aren't stupid. How many times did you take the bar? But you're good at blaming others, diverting attention from yourself. Another decision that indicates your malignant intent? Before seniors died, they were often moved to hospitals to die.
Who cares? 33, 28, died in a hospital, died in a nursing home. They died.
Why? So that you wouldn't count them as nursing home deaths. So ship them to the hospitals to die. Don't count them as nursing home deaths. So now we have upwards of 13,000 elderly who died in nursing homes. And you blame the federal government?
Incompetent government kills people. Incompetent government kills people.
You are incompetent. You, by undercounting and underreporting, you not only tried to cover up your intentional effort that recklessly caused the death of thousands of seniors, you believed you could manipulate the press and the public at the same time. And when caught, you blamed everyone in the federal government, President Trump, old age, Roger Stone, and God. Curious, you never mentioned China. Are you in on the China junket plan, too? But then again, the blame game is a weapon in every shady politician's arsenal. I know. I ran against you a long time ago. The sad part, when asked by grieving families like our own Janice Dean, who lost her mother-in-law and father-in-law, you attack the little people. They're not worthy of answers. Your henchmen trash Janice by saying, quote, Dean is not a credible source on anything except maybe the weather. You even ridiculed Republican governors who kept their states open. Funny now that the truth is out, your state, because of you, has the highest number of nursing home deaths in the country. States you ridiculed, like Florida, with the second largest number of seniors in the country. You even botched the rollout on the vaccines, totally messing up to the point where you prioritize patients in drug rehab and criminals in prison, while people I know who are seniors with comorbidities in New York still can't get the vaccine. You are a public health hazard on your own. And in a continuation of your criminal scheme, you sign a law giving immunity to nursing home operators and administrators so they're protected from lawsuits by the victims' families. Now, Andrew, why would you seek to give them an immunity shield? Aren't you interested in justice? Why do you prefer to block justice? So now the question is, will the Attorney General, who has jurisdiction over crimes, refer your malfeasance to the Deputy Attorney General for a grand jury investigation? A primer on what they might consider. Manslaughter in the second degree, penal law violation 125.15, when you recklessly cause the death of another person. Criminally negligent homicide, New York Penal Law 125.10, when a person causes the death of a human being in a way that was careless, reckless, or inattentive, and endangering the welfare of an elderly person, Penal Law Section 260.34, when one knowingly acts in a manner likely to be injurious to the physical welfare of a person unable to care for himself. What is more reckless than ordering nursing homes to readmit COVID-19 positive patients released from hospitals It is a gruesome, almost calculated decision to keep hospital beds open while the elderly are shuffled involuntarily back into death traps against their will. While a military boat sent by the federal government, yes, sent by Donald Trump, remains empty. Now, last year, the Associated Press concluded that you were undercounting the death by as much as 60%. You knew that you had to cook the books, and that's just what you did. So as families desperately try to get information about their loved ones during the pandemic, you and your team not only ignored them, demeaned them, and ridiculed them. All we heard about was how Trump failed New Yorkers. You failed New Yorkers. You made New York City and New York State among the worst places to live during the pandemic. And ironically, you admitted that the virus spread through nursing homes like, quote, wildfire through dry grass. So why'd you do it? What did you have to gain? What did you gain? And when you're found out, you say?
I believe everybody did the best they could. My father died. I wish I had someone to blame.
Andrew, it's not about your father. It's about a man, a calculated politician, a grim reaper by all accounts, who chose for reasons we don't yet know but certainly will, to direct COVID-infected patients into nursing homes, a death zone where our loved ones were, our parents and grandparents, the fragile and the vulnerable, the ones who, when they were young, worked to raise us, fought in wars to protect us, and gave their all for us. They were trying to live their final years with dignity. You took that from them, and you gave them a death sentence. You forced death upon them. You gave them a death sentence. You forced death upon them.
Why COVID? Why did God do this? I don't know.
You and not God decided when their lives would end. They died alone in fear without warmth and a loving touch needed before they passed. You cannot escape the consequences of your intentional and reckless acts. You cannot escape your intentional cover-up, thinking the little people would never bring you down. And you can blame God for all you want, but in the end, you will have to answer to the very one you blame, God, and God help you.
Yeah, now that's the one thing that I have to say about this whole thing. Cuomo blamed everyone, Donald Trump, people in government, God, when the only one who was to blame for what was going on in New York was Cuomo himself. No one actually, well, I guess there are people who would believe that he is actually not to blame, even when he blames God. But there's hellfire and damnation coming down on him for that one. You do not blame God for things that you yourself did, because God is not to blame. You are. You are Mr. Cuomo. And you're just like our fake president, Biden, right now. He's blaming everybody else for the things that are coming while he's sitting there signing executive orders. And a lot of them, he doesn't even know what the hell he's signing. There was a video the other day that I found that shows him signing executive orders, and he picks this one up and he says, opens it up and he says, I don't even know what the heck this is, and he signs it. Is that the kind of president we want? Is Cuomo the kind of governors that we want? I think not, but the problem has come in now in the fact that in 2020, the one thing that the Democrats are really, really good at, and that is learning from things that happen. What happened in 2020 was Donald Trump won that election. Hands down, he won that election. But the Supreme Court wouldn't do the right thing. The government wouldn't do the right thing. The governments in the local areas would not do the right thing. And all of the evidence that was put in was pushed off as no evidence at all. And the Democrats got away with a steal. Now, what we've got coming, folks, because of this, is because the Democrats learn. And with this last election, they learned how to steal an election and get away with it. Do we even think that in the future we're going to have a fair and just election anymore? Now, if the Democrats win fairly, oh yeah, we'll have a fair and balanced election. But only if they win. If Donald Trump runs in 2024, they will use the same ploy that they did this time. And if the people don't watch and if the government doesn't do anything, they will get away with another steal. If Ted Cruz runs in 2024 and becomes the Republican nominee for president, the Democrats will look at that and say, okay, let's use this same thing that we used in 2020 and we'll steal the election again, give Biden his second term. Well, actually, by then it'll probably be Kamala Harris, because I really kind of doubt if Biden is going to make it through the 4 years. But the problem we've got is finding reporters and finding people in our government who will do the things that they should be doing. The problem was finding reporters who would, considering the establishment media always liked casting him as the brash, plain-spoken antidote to Donald Trump, a man who was castigated by the very same reporters for evasion and verbal publicism. Donald Trump didn't do anything wrong when he was in office. And any president in our past who did as much for this nation as Donald Trump did would get two terms. Hell, Franklin Delano Roosevelt did less for this country, and he got three. But that's just the way it goes in this nation anymore. We cannot expect our nation to have free and balanced elections anymore, because no one will tell the truth when it comes to that.
You are listening to NWCR Radio, where the truth rings free with the voice of reason in this very unreasonable world.
Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on, so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America. Media, or CNM as the network has been shortened to, is growing again. Airing on Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, we have our very own Uncle Bing Fisher back on CNM, because now is the time for this network and his show, American by Design. As before, but with more urgency than ever, American by Design is back with the mellow voice of Bing, and that voice will help keep us all informed about what the Democrats have in store for us and why we have to fight them every step of the way. Because socialism is not for us, freedom is. Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, American by Design with our very own Uncle Bing Fisher back on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Okay, we are back. The calling number is 646-478-5284. We have had a lot of stuff going on lately, and the things that are happening here in New Mexico and all over the nation right now are kind of weird, to say the least. We've got a new report saying that a large group of illegal immigrants from the Caribbean island of Haiti were apprehended on last Saturday. The arrest took place in the Del Rio, Texas sector after the migrants crossed from Mexico into Texas, according to Breitbart. A representative of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency said the arrest took place Saturday about 9 a.m., Breitbart reported. Over 90 illegal immigrants were traveling in one group, the representative said. As the migrants who crossed into Texas were being apprehended, a second group was dispersed by Mexican authorities. Quoting a source it did not name, Breitbart reported that the Border Patrol was alerted by Mexican immigration officials that migrants traveling through Mexico on charter buses might try to cross the border. The report indicated that more Haitian migrants are expected to follow those arrested on Saturday. In October, the Del Rio sector noted in a news release that it had been battling a surge of illegal immigrants and that as part of that surge had apprehended 450 Haitians out of 1,800 detainees overall. Now, why are they coming all of a sudden? Folks, the reason is because President Joe Biden, when he took office, vowing to undo many of the immigration policies of former President Donald Trump, he has undone all of the stuff that Donald Trump put in place, even ones that were really good for the United States. He undid them all. Why? The reason for that one is probably because he hates America, for one thing. He hated Donald Trump for another. He didn't want to do anything that would cause America to get great again. And then in the Western Journal news piece that I was reading, there was a poll that was given. And the question was, will the southern border be overrun under Joe Biden? Now, I voted yes. But here's what the poll has come up with. 3,503 votes, or 99%, voted yes. 43 votes, or 1%, voted no. So that kind of shows you exactly where the mindset is in this whole thing. Reality has so far shown that although Biden has called for giving all illegal immigrants in the U.S. a path to citizenship, dismantling policies at the border has moved slowly. Linda Rivas, an immigration attorney, according to CNN, said, "These Trump policies are alive and well on the border. It's frustrating. It's really weighing on people, weighing on their souls. What we saw our clients go through is the opposite of dignity." Well, breaking into a country illegally is not dignity, Ms. Rivas. Being a criminal is not dignity. And you're right, it is the opposite of dignity. But they brought it all on themselves. But on Friday, a federal appeals court gave Trump's administration a victory when it ended a temporary stay of a Trump-era policy that turned away migrant children as public health risks, citing the COVID-19 pandemic and a federal public health emergency rule, according to the New York Times. Now Biden is being pressured to act in line with his promises. The border is closed to families and single adults, including those seeking refuge from horrific persecution and violence, said Lee Gellerant, an attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union, according to CNN. "We don't expect the Biden administration to be able to process anyone in the first week, but we need a signal very quickly that he is going to open the border," she said. One of the things that, and this is something that really bothers me. America is in trouble. We've got a president right now who is a faux president because he really didn't win the election. He stole it. But him and the Democrats who have pretty much taken over Congress know that they've got an open door to do anything they damn well want. And they're doing it. They know that they can, they've shut down the Keystone Pipeline. Thousands of jobs have been lost because of that. And Biden wants to bring unity to the United States after Donald Trump. Well, what he's doing is he's tearing the United States apart. The economy was doing fairly good because of Donald Trump. And the parts of the economy that was not doing good was because of the Democrats and their incessant ideas that Trump was the one that was wrong and they were the ones that were right. But that's not the way it really is, folks. The Democrats are destroying the economy right now. Unemployment's going to go up quite a bit. So far, there's been well over 10,000 people losing their jobs. A good portion of those are here in New Mexico. And New Mexico is not a state that can fall back on its resources. But you've got, right now you've got Texas, who is actually going after this whole thing the way it needs to be gone after, folks. We cannot change the government by going after the top. That's where a lot of the corruption and everything is right now. Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, and then we go into different states, Waters, Maxine Waters in California, Whitmer in Michigan, Grisham here in New Mexico. What is happening here in the United States is everybody's looking at the federal government and thinking, okay, Biden has canceled the Keystone XL pipeline. Okay, fine. He just effectively threw thousands of workers out on the street and said, you're no longer employed. But I've got something here that not many people are thinking about, because it's really not up to the federal government to do this, even though Biden did it. Everybody's looking at the federal government thinking, you need to stop this because you're hurting people's lives by shutting down things that shouldn't be shut down. But like I said, Texas is going about this the right way. They are now starting to work on the next election, and they're working on the local. That's where we need to work on this, on the local level and the state level. The border wall has been ceased, according to the federal government. And everybody's looking to the federal government and thinking, well, if we want to get this restarted again, we need to go to the federal government. No, we don't. It's the states. The states have that power. New Mexico, the Albuquerque Journal, when it stopped, huge freaking headlines on the front page. Border wall construction ceased. Texas could start it right back up again. Actually, the southern part of New Mexico that's conservative could start it right back up again. Arizona could start it right back up again. The conservative part of California could start it right back up again. It's up to the states, folks. States could start this thing back up and finish that wall without federal help. And that's where we need to start looking at this here, because the federal government is destroying lives, destroying economies, destroying everything that was good here in America. Right now, they're pretty much destroying it all. But it's really not up to the federal government to do this. That's not part of their job. It's up to the states. The states need to open this back up again. Like I said, Texas is going about it the right way. They're going after the elections in the state, the local elections. They get those local elections and win those local elections. And it doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat, or somebody from a new party, Patriot Party, it doesn't matter. Just so long as they revere the Constitution, revere the laws of this nation, and do what is supposed to be done and fear God. There's the one thing in this nation right now that is really tearing us apart, is the Democrats and most of the Republicans that are in Washington, D.C., do not fear God. And that is where the United States is going wrong right at the moment. They don't fear God. God isn't going to help us. They don't fear God. They have no filter to stop them from doing things that should not be done. We can see that in Biden. He has absolutely no filter for the things that should be done and the things that shouldn't be done. And he's going after everything that shouldn't be done because he hates Trump and he doesn't fear God. And as long as we have a chief executive in the White House who doesn't fear God, this nation's in trouble, folks. The idea that you can do the things that he's doing and have absolutely no consequences is insane at best. Because even if he doesn't fear God, the fear of God will be put into him sooner or later. It'd be better for us if it was put in sooner. But that's not what's going to happen. He was allowed to steal this election. And everybody's sitting there saying, Trump is no longer president. Trump is gone. But there are things out there right now. And, you know, I've even talked with some people that like Chris, who I've been advertising for his show, and he did about five of them. And he's been having real problems down in Texas, and he has not. But he thinks that Trump isn't going to come back. But there was an article today in the Western Journal, and the headline of it said, Team Trump delivers worst news to Democrats yet, announcement even putting Republican turncoats on notice. And I think this is where it's going, folks. It says, think Donald Trump's going away? Think again. A former advisor to President Trump says, that's bad news for Democrats and worse news for the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach the now former president. Former Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski told Fox News on Thursday, quote, they will all get primary challenges, in my opinion. I don't know at what level the president's going to weigh in on each of those races, but I think he will be involved in a number of them. Unquote. Lewandowski, who guided Trump through the early primaries of 2016 campaign until several controversies forced him out, served as an advisor on Trump's 2020 run. He said Trump won't leave and form a splinter party, as some news outlets have been claiming. They've been talking about him starting up the Patriot Party and things like that. But Lewandowski said, quote, I don't think the president has any interest in being part of a third party. The ballot access requirements for third parties are exceptionally difficult. If the goal is to elect individuals, a third party is not a good vehicle to do that, historically speaking. I think the president is going to work within the two-party structure that currently exists, and he'll be very effective inside that structure, unquote. That's not heartening news for Democrats either, considering Lewandowski said Trump plans to be actively involved in the 2022 electoral process. The president continues to have enormous support, well over 50% right now, and approval among Republican and primary voters. He continues to have hundreds of millions of dollars in his campaign account, which he can utilize. And he will continue to be actively involved in recruiting candidates and holding elected officials accountable for their votes. If Lewandowski has some knowledge about the role that Trump will play going forward or whether Trump is considering a 2024 run at the White House, he was cagey about it. Quote, We're going to see how much influence the president wants to exert going forward. I don't think anybody knows that yet, unquote. However, that influence could be more considerable than was thought at the beginning of January. The thaw began in earnest last week when House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy traveled down to Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida to visit the former president. The Californian Republican said, quote, "Today, President Trump committed to helping elect Republicans in the House and the Senate in 2022. A Republican majority will listen to our fellow Americans and solve the challenges facing our nation," unquote. But we have to think of something else. We need to get these Republicans in there, or independents, or whoever, just so long as they have the criteria of revering the Constitution, following our laws, and believing in God. He went on to say, Democrats, quote, "Democrats, on the other hand, have only put forward an agenda that divides us, such as impeaching a president who is now a private citizen and destroying blue-collar energy jobs. For the sake of our country, the radical Democrat agenda must be stopped," unquote. He would go on to tweet, "United and ready to win in 2022. Furthermore, a morning consult poll of Republicans taken between January 22nd and 25th found that 50% felt Trump should play a role in the Republican Party going forward. That's up from 41% in a poll taken January 6th through 7th on an immediate aftermath of the Capitol incursion, which, of course, the Democrats are still blaming on Trump, even though it's been proven he didn't do anything. How serious the damage is to the Trump brand remains to be seen. But this all isn't a heartening picture for the Democrats or for Liz Cheney. But we'll get to that in a bit. The hope on the left has been that the Capitol incursion and the salad of angry words, sedition, insurrection, treason, would turn Trump into a mob boss in the winter. He'd be able to sit around Mar-a-Lago, and lick his wounds as he watched TV and idly played with his anonymous Twitter burner account. Maybe once in a while, Matt Gaetz or Roger Stone would come by and pay him a visit, pretending he was still important, but above all, Trump would just go away. Or even better for the Democrats, he would just start a third party. If he still has an energized base, they could go with him, ensuring the Democrats controlled politics for a generation. The Patriot Party, as it was supposed to be called, would act as a Ross Perot writ large, spoiling not just presidential elections for the Republicans, but congressional elections too. Heck, they'd let Trump have his Twitter account back in a heartbeat if he left the GOP. Regardless of whether Trump's political brand ever fully recovers from the events of January 6th, that's what's clear is that it isn't as damaged as most thought it was, and it's not. His numbers are up, and his acquittal in the Senate impeachment trial is almost certain. Trump may be polarizing influence within the party, but he can still get his base to polling places like few others can, and the Democrats are scared to death of that. And that is what is driving this whole thing. And, you know, it's amazing that we have such horrid leaders in our capital, and they're being allowed to be that way. And there's nothing, and everybody's saying there's nothing that can be done. But yes, there is a lot that can be done, folks. It's like I said, all we have to do is start looking at the local races. win those local races. Start building on those. And then go to the state. Start building on those. From the state, you get congressmen. From Congress and the Senate, you get vice presidents and presidents. That's the way to build this thing up, folks. The Democrats have been working for years to get where they're at. And even though they had to cheat completely to get where they're at, they set a precedence here. And it's going to be hard to beat them in the future. Unless the Republicans get smart. They have, for another thing, they have to grow a backbone. They have to be like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley. Grow a backbone. Stand up straight. Know that you're fighting for America. Stop being the wimps that you have been. Get rid of the ones who constantly go the other direction. McConnell, for one. As for the 10 Republicans that voted for Trump's impeachment in the House, nearly all of them will be vulnerable to primary challenges, and this doesn't augur well. It could be particularly bad for Cheney, who holds a position in House leadership and hails from bright red Wyoming, where her vote to impeach was not popular at all. In short, Donald Trump isn't going away anytime soon. A few weeks ago, he would have made the Democrats and anti-Trump Republicans secretly gleeful, if that feeling hasn't already faded. It should, folks. And that's from Western Journal. But we have like right now from WSAZ exclusive one-on-one interview with Vice President Kamala Harris. She says that there will be job creation around reclaiming abandoned landmines. I don't see that happening. Not from a Democrat anyway. Not from a Democrat anyway. And we have other headlines here. Is leftism losing steam? Conservative icons' popularity with younger generation offers hope. Yeah, that's one of the things that's going on right now. This younger generation is not as liberal as my generation was or the generation after that. Because for one thing, the young are not stupid. They see things like, while California's closed down businesses, they put billions of dollars into the hands of criminals. They see all of this. They see what's going on here in New Mexico, where the state's completely locked down. The governor will not look at the science of what COVID is, what is actually going on. She just keeps us locked down because that's the way she wants to do it. She wants to be in control. And they're all sitting there thinking, well, Trump's gone. Yet Trump receives yet another Nobel Peace Prize nomination for what he did in the Middle East with Israel. And then we have this other one. The woman who was chosen to head Biden's unemployment program oversaw program fleeced by Nigerian scammers for over $600 million. That's who Biden's putting into positions of power. And he's doing this, folks. He's helping transgenders to go in, men who have suddenly just claimed that they're women now, can go into women's sports and control it. Why? Because they're men. And nobody else is saying anything about this. And the thing that's sad about this is that there are women all over who train their whole lives to win at sports. And now our so-called fake president is allowing men to come in who claim they're women, but they're really men, to come in and be a woman in sports. That's not only unfair, it's wrong. But who do we have to thank for this? Faux President Biden. And the experts are now talking about, here's how many jobs Biden's agenda will kill. Excuse me, sorry about that. President Joe Biden has made climate change a top priority since taking office in January 20th. In doing so, the House GOP estimates he will kill a total of 1.41 million jobs with his currently stated policies. Folks, that is not going to be good for America. Not only has the Democrats and the wimpy Republicans allowed this nation to be locked down for so long now that there are all kinds of jobs now that are gone and will never come back. Now we've got a so-called president who's doing everything he can to destroy even more. Unemployment's going to go up, folks, and it's going to go up in a major way. If we end up losing 1.4, that's almost 1.5 million jobs with what is coming. And that's over the jobs that have already been lost because of the Democrats' policies on keeping this nation locked down. And yes, I'm saying Democrat policies. South Dakota never locked down. Florida hasn't locked down. They're fine. South Dakota, you don't have to wear a mask. But New Mexico? In my apartment complex, folks, there is a hallway outside my door. I see people walking down, up and down that hallway with masks on when they're alone. Our governor has the state of New Mexico so freaking scared of a virus that is not as dangerous as everybody's making it out to be. So everybody's wearing a mask, and when I walk down the hallway without a mask, I get dirty looks. I'm just waiting for the time when somebody's going to say something to me, because I won't hold back. I've already not held back in Walmart, because I won't wear my mask over my nose. I'll wear it below my nose so I can actually breathe. And I've had several people come up to me and say, you're hurting all of us because you're not wearing your mask right. And the lady who told me that, I says, no, you're hurting everybody because you're wearing a mask. You're shutting down your immune system. You're going to get sick. Your family will get sick. People around you will get sick because you wore a mask. I'm not going that route. 1.41 million jobs, folks. And the things that are happening in this nation right now are scary, to say the least. Very scary, to say the least. And what we have to start realizing here, folks, is that until we wake up, this nation is going to continue to go downhill, and things are not going to be pretty in the coming years, because Americans need to wake the hell up. People like here in New Mexico, they're already starting to buck against the governor. The governor needs to be sued. The governor needs to be contested. I've even thought about looking for a position in the government here in Albuquerque, because Albuquerque is a liberal bastion if there ever was one. People need to rise up and start running for office and the local levels so that we can start taking over the local levels, then work for the state. Go after the levels at the state. Get rid of the liberals in the state. And it's like I said before, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent. It doesn't matter. And I've got a phone call here. Just a second. I just noticed that.
Hello.
Well, hello. I was waiting. Hi, and I clicked on the button to bring you in, and it just sat there spinning. Wouldn't let you in.
My name's Nathan in Orlando. I'm enjoying your show. But I heard you saying some stuff that I'm really struggling with when you were talking back with Lewandowski, however you pronounce his name, Corey Lewandowski, and some of the things he was saying. Here's what I have a problem with. We got to get away from this two-party rule. If you go back to the Civil War when we had this derail then, the Republicans and Whigs it's the same scene. The Whig Party, the people were tired. It was over. It was done. This small little party called the Republican Party, they weren't even in all the states, sprung up, and guess what? The Whig Party was over, and whenever I say Republicans, I usually make the mistake purposely, and I say the Whigs. Oops, I mean Republicans, because this small party didn't really have a lot of people in it, and then all of a sudden the Whig Party was over, and the majority of those Whigs, they possessed the Republican Party like a band of demons, and the same insanity continued, and now we're back at that next derail again, and I wish we could go back to the Constitution. There is no two-party system in the Constitution. There's no electoral college in the Constitution. There's no two candidates on one ticket in the Constitution. We vote for the president, we vote for the vice president in another election, and we the people vote for the electors who in turn vote for the electors for the president and then the vice president. This is what the Constitution says as it is. And when I look at, and here's my story, I was a Republican from 1978, because that was my roots, to 2004. I got my first computer, and my sister and my neighbor were teaching me how to use it. I went back to the Great Depression and looked at the Republicans' party's platform and learned they never have done anything that they say they believe in other than the two terms of Reagan at that point. And now at the with Trump, the two-party system is one party, and they got me and you down here, Democrat and Republican, and that caused me to switch to no party affiliate. I have only voted from 2004 till now. I only vote for citizen candidates who have a consistent resume. And that's what we got to do with what you were saying about getting people running for offices. But the thing is that with the two-party system has control of it. I know this much, and then I'll hang up on this. I know right now with Biden in there, the damage Obama did to this economy, and not just the economy, but the direction of the country. He put us on a track that has no U-turns. And 4 years of whatever we have to deal with Biden, it's not going to get turned around real easy. I'll give you one example. Ted Cruz, he ran on repeal Obamacare in 2012. They got their majority in the Senate. And in September of 2013, he did a 21-hour, 19-minute fake filibuster. After his filibuster, they went up, took a shower, shaved, came back down, and voted 100%, 100%, it was 100-0 to fund Obamacare, and then Ted Cruz did this, and the Republicans have ran on repeal Obamacare every election except for the 2018 midterm. You know, so the two parties are one system. They take turns. They're one party. They take turns taking the pressure off each other. But they got me and you down here, Democrat, fussing with each other, trying to get our friends to the polls. And you know what? We're heading towards a socialist and ultimately a communist or some kind of a dictator-type government. And what we need to do is get away from the two-party system. That's my opinion, sir.
Well, I actually agree with you on that one. But the problem with what we've got going now is that we've got the two parties, and if we start another party, it's going to be something like when Ross Perot came in, he split the Republican vote, and the Democrats completely took over. And that's what would happen now, and we cannot afford to have complete Democrat control right at the moment. And you're right. I do not agree with most Republicans because they don't have a backbone to be there.
Yeah, well, but if you mentioned Perot, we've seen basically the same thing with Trump. He was saying, I'm going to run as a Republican. If I can't run as a Republican, I'm going to run as a Democrat. And that held the Republicans hostage because now they know that the third party candidate is going to split the votes and Hillary is going to be in the president, in the White House. They already knew that, so he basically held them hostage, and they hated him for that. But here's the key. It's always the Republican. You've never, ever in history seen a Democrat, an independent, a third-party candidate, take the votes away from the Democrats because the Democrats believe what they believe, and they tell their people, their voters, what they believe, and you can trust them. Here's the thing. Roe v. Wade is a Republican policy. But yet the Republicans run on these Bible thumpers. You know, I'm believing pro-life. I can tell you this, if you go not look at their record, but I mean listen to their speech, but look at their record, you'll see that they're lying. Ted Cruz got an abortion policy, and yeah, he sounds like the Pope out there talking about pro-life, and yet nobody checks his policies, his record, you know. And so it was George Daddy Bush, and Congressman George H. Bush in 69 wrote Title X. That's the law that funds Planned Parenthood. In 69, Planned Parenthood wasn't in our mind. In 70, Republican Nixon signed it. And in 73, when Roe v. Wade hit the court, it was 7 out of the 9 judges who were Republican appointed. And now what do we hear them say? Well, we need to defund Planned Parenthood in 2016 when the baby body parts made the news. And what do we hear the Republicans during an election? We need to defend. They have they were saying we need to defund Planned Parenthood. They have to fund it. It's the law. Okay, it's a law. We have to fund it. But they're saying we need to defund it. And guess what? Enough Republicans was present not voting, which allowed them to get funded. And yet they had their reason why they couldn't vote like they had a conscience. But it was the Republicans that were up for election in 2016 that stood as a present not voting that gave them the numbers to vote. So the two parties know that. And I know this much. If me and you was comrades in the Congress, and I've seen you telling our constituency here in Florida one thing, and you're voting or you're sitting out stuff, I would come to you and say, hey, bud, we can't be doing this. You ran on this. And if you ignored that because you got to manage the vote, you know what? I would go to the mic. I'd probably be in trouble for it. But I'd go to the mic and tell the people of Florida, this guy is deceiving you. But you know what? If Nancy Pelosi wanted to ruin the Republicans, all she has to do is bring up all the Republicans, the 100% of the U.S. Senate Republicans with 100% of the Democrats voted for Obamacare. And you know, they know that they're going to always bring it up and they can manage it.
Well,
so I say citizen candidates only.
Well, when Obamacare was voted in, The Republicans didn't vote for it. It was the Democrats that did, and they had the seniority, so that it was passed above. But none of the
And they did it when everybody was on leave. Everybody went back home on recess, and the handful of Democrats stayed back, and they brought it up for a vote. And when they got back, they said, whoa, what's this? They didn't yell foul. Let's have another vote. And then, well, you know, it's the law now. And you know what? This was why they needed a majority in the Senate, is because we had enough votes in the Congress to beat them. But the thing is we were losing it in the Senate, so they ran in 2012 on we need a majority in the Senate, and the people gave it to them. And here's the thing. It's always the Republicans that get tired and walk away and turn to independent. And right now, somewhere in the neighborhood of 60%, a little over 60% of registered voters in the country are either no party affiliate, independent, or some small, you know, no name party. I can show you from different counties the stats of. Here in Orange County, where I live at, in the last election, the Republicans had 100,000 numbers less than the no party affiliates.
Yep.
Okay.
And
so, in other words, in order for the Republicans have to get remind these independents, y'all got to vote for us, or you get this Democrat. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like. The guy who does our show on Sunday night, he's an independent. And me, I've always been a Republican, but I'm not really leaning that way anymore because the Republicans are spineless. You know, they listen to the media, and if the media says, well, if you do this, people will turn against you, and they believe the media, even though the media lies all the time. But what we need to get in here is, like I was saying, Sin, just before you before I noticed you were there, what we need, and it doesn't matter if they're Republican, independent, or Democrat, they need to have a strong constitutional, they need to believe in the Constitution, they need to believe in our laws, and they need to believe in God. And that's
the
kind of person we need to elect, and it doesn't.
Yeah, I agree with you, but here's the problem is, you know, Trump was actually more committed to the Constitution than the founders were. The founders that wrote this thing, they sacrificed some of them, their lives, their wealth, and their families struggled through the hassles they went through. But they had, but you know what? They did a lot of things that was not in the Constitution. Like, and I agree with this, but they should have put it in the Constitution. You know, they said they came up with a rule that only property owners could vote. And I agree with that because you pay taxes. But that would give me a reason back then, because most people were peasants. That would give me a reason to aspire to maybe one day work out a trade with somebody and eventually do some work or whatever, save my money, sell my furs that I get from hunting, and eventually buy some land so that I can pay taxes and, you know, but they didn't do that. And the people didn't get to vote. And then after the 14th Amendment, whenever for the first time on paper, the white man could vote, he still couldn't vote because they had a thing that says you got to pay a poll tax. They were peasants. Their paycheck wasn't money on Friday. It was corn, collards, and cotton. They were farmers and hunters. You know, and so by the time we make it up to the 60s, there's still, but here's what the 24 says, the right of citizens to vote in any primary, they're right there, open primaries is the law of the land, the states don't have the right to have closed parties with primaries with the federal elections, but it says shall not be denied by the United States or any other state. For any poll tax or any other tax. Any other tax is a tax is a condition. And to say that you got to be either a Republican or a Democrat to be able to vote in the primary is abridging or is denying me my right to vote in the full election. And so we got a two-party system. We got a two-party system that's robbing people of their And I'm not against people wanting to be a part of parties. Put your candidate up and line them all up and let's vote. But we got a two-party system that has all the two-party our election laws all revolve around the two parties. And I made an oath to the Constitution when I went in the military. I that made me want to learn it. And I started reading it, and I made a vow that I'm not going to vote for anybody other than citizen candidates, and I know I'll never see my candidate elected, but I just got out of the mentality of the two party system because, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone promise me something and then I look back and learn that they didn't do it. And, you know, one of my biggest hurts is this guy, Newt Gingrich. The contract with America, the first and the contract with America that had eight promises. The very first promise was they would pass a law that Congress members have to live by the same laws the rest of the country does. And I don't know where they already had the idea they were above the Constitution, law, and the people, but they made that promise, and all eight, they had a majority in both houses. And all eight they didn't have enough numbers to pass them, you know. And they didn't talk about it. They just talked about their majority and how they're kicking butt. And I'm sitting there going, they're talking to me like I'm, you know, they're lying to me. They're sitting there lying to them and thinking that I don't know this. But I was going down to the library when I was in the military and looking this stuff up, and I just said, you know. You know, you couldn't be married to a woman that did you this way, and I sure ain't going to have anything to do with a politician that thinks he has a right to do this stuff, you know. And I just think that I hope that Trump can motivate the people in the next election, but I don't think he needs to come up with another party, and I know it's all leaning towards the, you know, I hear the propaganda about a Patriot Party. I don't want that. I don't want to see him try to weed out the Republicans. And we need to vote for people. If Trump was to vote for this car dealer or this doctor that's running for office down here, you know, the people would vote. The people would vote for this guy if Trump says I endorse this guy. They would win with no political background, and that's what we need up there. And I know I'm getting my therapy here, but I'm going to hang up and keep listening to you. And I appreciate you letting me get this off my chest. But listen, man, I spent time in the military under three presidents. I made an oath. When I made my oath, I was thinking about it when I was making, quoting it. And I thought, you know, I don't know this thing. I'm making an oath to something I don't know. So I started reading it. I read it over and over and over and over. And the more I read it and started researching and looking at stuff, it made me sick on my stomach. And I just said, you know, I was at the end of the world, man. There was a chance that if anybody's been in the military, when you go to the end of the earth, they know what I'm saying. There was a chance something could have happened under Reagan and Bush. I knew that, you know, I know that if I don't come home, it's going to be okay. They're going to take care of it, you know. And then I look back on this stuff, and it's like, you know, right now I could not make an oath and go in the military knowing what I know now with our political system. I would not do that. But my oath is to the Constitution, and I know, like I said, I'm not going to fuss with people about who they're voting for. I'll challenge their minds. But at the end of the day, I'm living with my conscience, and I wish Trump would motivate the people to be the people. And I'll give you a good one. In 2010, Marco Rubio here in Florida, he won with 84%. He's often mentioned he was the underdog who came back from being behind and won in a landslide. Listen to this. There was two doctors here, and they were running on the health care issue. They couldn't get in the Republican or the Democrat media. They couldn't get in the newspaper. I talked with both of them. They couldn't get on. And there was a congressional primary debate, but there was no U.S. Senate primary debate. And when you walked in the poll on Election Day, you seen Rubio and you've seen these two other names. And those two other names, nobody had heard of them, but they split 16%. And you know what? That right there was deception. The Republicans, the Democrats. And you know, if I was a Democrat, I would jump up and say, look what the Republicans are doing to you guys. You know, but they don't do that because they're one party. They're up there. Mm-hmm. They're one party. They got that mutual respect. And Marco Rubio, if you go through whenever they impeach Trump and go and look at their final words before the vote, you'll look at how many of these Republicans, like Rubio said, I know what the president did was wrong, but I can't vote for impeachment. You know what? All he was thinking about was his next election, and yet Trump did nothing wrong. You know what? That man, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him with my weak arm. You know, and that's, you know, that's just what's on my mind. But I'm going to hang up. You got a great show, man. Keep doing it. We need minds to be challenged.
Well, thank you for being on here. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Now, this guy that was just on here, he brought up a lot of good ideas. We've got a two-party system right now. The problem is the parties are so much alike that it's almost insane to call them two parties. But it would also be bad right at the moment to start a third party, because that would splinter off everything. Democrats are never going to change what they're doing. They are working to destroy this country right now. Republicans, the only way that they're going to change is if people are put in and run and actually win, who have a love for this country, who have a backbone to stand up against the media and everybody else that's pushing everything that's going on here, and actually stand up for the Constitution, stand up for our laws, be God-fearing. As long as you're not God-fearing, folks, you're going to do things that the Democrats are doing now, because they're not God-fearing. And most of the Republicans up in Washington, D.C. right now are not either. They're getting away with things that that our founding fathers would be spinning in their graves over. This whole idea that everything is the way it should be is ridiculous. Kamala Harris is saying that everything needs to be that the way that they want to do it. No, they want to destroy this nation. The trouble is, the Republicans are there standing in their way with a backbone that's so weak that all they have to do is just blow on them and they'll fall down. And many people, like he said, are turning from the Republican Party because they're a weak-minded bunch of people. There's a few who have a backbone, but most of them will just fold like a bad card table if the media or the Democrats say, oh, you can't do that. But I've got I just got announced that I had about 60 seconds left on the show, but we had ourselves a great show tonight, and I'm really glad that I had that caller from Florida call, because he brought up some really good points. But the thing we've got to remember here, folks, is Keystone Pipeline, that's not a federal thing. The states can restart that up. The border wall, the states can start that back up, and there's nothing that the federal government could do about it if they did that. But we have to start working on the local governments first. Get them to be the God-fearing, law-abiding, Constitution-following people that this nation needs. And it doesn't matter, like I said, doesn't matter what party you're part of, as long as you've got those three qualities and you've got a backbone to stand up to them. This nation can be saved. But trouble is, with the way things are nowadays, looks like that's going to be a hard road to hoe. We will be back here on Friday Monday is not my normal day. I usually do my shows on Friday, but past couple of weeks, because of problems I've had with my computer and my mixer, I've got a new mixer now. I've got to try and figure out how to get the things the way I want it to sound. We will be back on Friday, and I'm going to work on getting some more of my stuff re-recorded and started and gone so I can get some more audio files and things that I want to do. But I will be back on Friday. I'm going to start doing my show at 7 o'clock Mountain Time, which is 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be doing from 9 to probably 11 if I do a two-hour show. But we will be back on Friday, and God bless you all for listening. Thank you from Florida for calling and giving us those great points. I really appreciate you calling. That was a great call. And I will be back on Friday, like I said. And we here at Conservative Nation Media will be working to try and keep the truth going that the media don't want you to hear about. But we've got to turn to God. We've got to stiffen our backbones and stay strong for America. And as always, we will not be ruled. God bless you all, and I'll see you on Friday. And have a great day. Bless you all.